Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a comedian, writer, television host. W. Kamau Bell is the host of the Emmy-nominated CNN show United Shades of America, which is currently in its second season.
To get a better understanding of what life is like in these neighborhoods, Malik has set up a meeting between me and current affiliated gang members. I'm totally not scared. Okay, I'm a little scared.
This is Wild Wild the General.
No question.
You know, nice to meet you, brother.
Nice to meet you,
brother. Wild Wild the General is the leader of his crew, the Pirate Gang, here in Altgeld Gardens, reportedly one of the hottest pockets of violence on the south side of Chicago. And if you know me, you know I hate hot pockets.
About a week ago, it was just two killers out here, you know, two shootings, people died. It may look like it look now, but
yeah. It
ain't sweet. Trust me, this is one of the most infamous projects. It's chaos, man.
I feel like you just invoked the thunder.
That's that force. And that was the verification.
Yeah, okay,
you know?
Yeah, you got
no validation
that's
needed.
That's the blue
check
mark. You got verified.
Yeah, okay. Man.
Nationally, when people talk about Chicago right now, it's like the most notorious city in the country. People talk about the South Side and the West Side and gangs. Do you think it's worse than people think it is, or is it exaggerated?
It's worse.
Bell is not just a personality, but he's a media empire. He's got his own show on CNN, several great podcasts, just wrote the book, The Awkward Thoughts of W. Kamau Bell, Tales of a 6'4", African-American, heterosexual, cisgender, left-leaning, asthmatic, black and proud, blurred, mama's boy, dad, and stand-up comedian. W. Kamau Bell, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Oh, is there time for an interview? No, that intro was so thorough.
That's right. I've been a fan of yours, and I love Totally Biased and have known your work for a long time. When you have the show you have now on CNN, how much of that is a direct evolution to what you were doing on stage coming up as a stand-up?
I mean, I think this is, it feels like, in some sense, I mean, not everybody is guaranteed a TV show and show business, so I feel lucky that I got that, immensely lucky, but it's just an extension of what I was already doing. Like, I think that, you know, I was on stage talking about issues and talking about how do we solve these things and pointing out the ridiculous parts, but also trying to be pretty sensitive about it and trying to be respectful. And the show is trying to do all those things too. And, you know, the difference is for me, the whole point of the show is to hand over the mic to other people and go, you tell your story. Yeah. I'll listen to your story and try to support it through either ridiculous jokes I make or through, you know, sort of facts and figures that we use to wrap around these interviews so people can, like, so that the audience can go, is this real? Oh, yeah, it is real.
I mean, you have taken some of the positive aspects of Totally Biased and brought it to United Shades, mostly the man on the street aspect. Talk about that. Talk about what you learned from doing the man on the street bits with Totally Biased and how you use it for United Shades.
I mean, thankfully, you know, thank you, Black Jesus. When I say Black Jesus, of course, I mean Chris Rock. Chris Rock for giving me the opportunity to do that on the show and for understanding that, like, it was his idea. You got to go do man on the street stuff. You got to go meet the people. Like, that was his idea. That was not something we pitched the show with. And I was nervous about it because I felt like all the man on the street stuff I'd seen was people making fun of people. And I was like, didn't want to do that. And luckily, I developed my own style. And then when the show got canceled, the overwhelming feedback I got was the thing that people liked the most about my contribution to the show was the man on the street stuff. And so knowing that, when there was this idea for the CNN show that got pitched to me because they pitched the idea before I was a part of it, I was like, oh, that's the same thing, just a more developed version of that. So thankfully, I think I always would have liked to have a show like this, but with Totally Biased and FX giving me the reps to learn on the job, I sort of walked into United Shades much more prepared.
How do you make that experience authentic? Because, you know, you've got a camera crew and you got microphones, and you see a little bit of that in your show. I love that you'll see the camera crew and the sound guy in the shot in some cases, in the Chicago episode, you know, where someone is calling you over. But how do you make sure that that's authentic? Because a lot of times people are going to clam up, or they're going to maybe not say the things that they really want to say because they're nervous that there's a camera in front of them. What's the secret to making that an authentic experience?
I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. One is having a camera crew that knows how to be invisible. You know, like that even though people can see the camera crews all around, that they know how to sort of, like, you know, there's different ways camera crews do it. Some camera crews are like, okay, you stand over there. Now be quiet. Okay, now move. And there's that way. And our camera crew's not like that at all. They're like, hi, my name is Patrick. I'll be shooting you today with the camera. Ha, ha, ha. Like, they're very, like, is this comfortable? Can you sit here? Is that chair good? Do you need a different chair? Like, it's, like, really making it clear that the experience is about their version of the experience, not the entertainment industry version of the experience. Making sure that the person being interviewed and talked to knows that you're the most important person here. So making sure that, so it's really about, like, you need water, do you want a Coke, you know, sort of. And once people realize that you're thinking about them and not just thinking about getting the right lighting and the right shot, they loosen up. And then it's also about me, like, really sort of engaging them before the cameras roll, just to let them know I'm not there just to sort of get their camera part of them. I want to, like, hey, how you doing? Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. You know, want to make sure that you're comfortable. This is what we're going to do. I might make some jokes. And sort of so that they're already talking to you before the camera rolls. And so by the time the camera rolls, you're already in the middle of something. And then the last thing is, like, when you leave, make sure you leave the place better than you found it. You know, like, I think it's really important to, like, put things back where they belong. Make sure you wipe down that dusty table that person never wipe down. You know, really sort of, as the showrunner Donnie Jackson says, it's important that people know that we're lucky that they want to talk to us, not the other way around. Not that they're lucky that we want to talk to them.
As a comedian, as someone who, you know, is great on your feet and you're able to improvise and come up with jokes in the moment, what's the challenge? I mean, because in United Shades, and what is really great about the show is that, yes, you are funny, but really it's about getting the information out of these people. And sometimes it's compelling information that sometimes maybe a joke would squash. As a comedian, how difficult is it for you to adjust and be in a position where you're half journalist, half comedian, and letting people breathe?
I mean, for me, I think I don't think of myself as a journalist, so that helps. Like, I think that I certainly hear the accusation that I'm a journalist because I'm on CNN and I'm doing things that have journalistic qualities.
Like a documentary. How about documentarian?
Yeah, I feel like I'm closer to that, like some sort of 21st century documentarian. But I think the big thing is, like, understanding that the number one thing I bring to the table is listening. And so that even if I have a joke, but it's in the middle of the person still talking, like, you go, oh man, if they stop talking now, I'd have a good joke. Don't interrupt them. Like, that's the number one thing. Don't interrupt them. And then by the time they get to the end of that thing, if you go, oh, that joke might still work, then say the joke. But then also you have time to sort of weigh that joke. Is this really a good joke? Or maybe, is this too much? And, da, 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 da. And then sometimes, if you feel like you went too far, like, even some of this on, you see this on camera, I'll make a joke and the person goes, ha, 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 and then making fun of myself for making that joke sometimes if we do on the show. Right. Like, you know, sort of, again, showing how the sausage gets made. Like, oops, that was a step too far. You know what I mean? Like, sort of owning the fact that, like, that I'm not perfect. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is so that if you make the wrong joke, sort of going, that was the wrong joke, you know. And I think that the people you're talking to appreciate that, and the watchers, the people who watch the show, often appreciate that. I'm sort of a reliable narrator because I'm not telling you that I have all the answers.
Right. W. Kamau Bell is the host of United Shades of America, which is in the second season on CNN. It airs on Sunday nights. Also, so many other projects. I want to get to that. But the Chicago episode that you had in season two, it just aired in May. You point out that you spent time here. You spent your teenage years here in Chicago, lived down in Hyde Park. Talk about how important it was for you to tell Chicago's story by having Chicago be part of your story.
Well, it sort of revealed itself to be important to me because the first season, you know, Chicago's always in the news, and especially in the last few years with all the you know, all the crime stats and reporting that people all over the country use to sort of demonize Chicago. And as somebody who lived in Hyde Park and then lived on the north side, and really when I moved to the Bay Area, I was really homesick for Chicago a lot. I have a lot of, like, love for Chicago and still do, and go back regularly. I mean, this will be like the third time in the last 6 months that I've been there. So it was sort of like, I know that Chicago is not just one thing, like the media reports. And then, but on top of that, people who don't know me, who would see, like, oh, you'll talk to the Klan, but you won't go talk to gang members in Chicago about gangs. You won't do that. You won't go to the west side of Chicago to talk to. I was like, and it was just funny to be like, oh, you have no idea that I graduated from high school in Chicago. Like, you have no idea. You need to get to Wikipedia and read about me. And so for me, the second season, and then combine that with Trump demonizing Chicago pretty regularly and then targeting Dwayne Wade's niece with a tweet to sort of try to get black people to vote for him, I was just like, we have to do Chicago. It was the first episode we shot of the new season. And as we sort of pitched, like, what should we do? There was like a handful of, like, we have to do this. And Chicago was one of those. So, and then luckily, you know, our showrunner, Donnie Jackson, this was his first year on the show, he knew a lot of people that we could talk to. And he reached out to people like Malik Youssef, who's in the episode, who's a music producer and also grew up in gangs. Like, he reached out to him and he helped us get to a lot of people we wouldn't have gotten to otherwise. So it's really like the benefit of those people those connectors really helped us make that episode. And I'm really proud of that episode. And I still, you know, I saw a lot of those gang guys, a lot of the guys who were affiliated with gangs, came to a screening we did at the Boys and Girls Club and stood up and met people and talked to people about, like, these teenagers, these kids at the Boys and Girls Club about their lives.
What surprised you about that episode? I mean, being from here, and it's been a couple of years, but what surprised you about the story you were telling about Chicago gangs?
The surprise, and we put this in the episode, was that everybody has the answers. Everybody on the South and West Side that we talked to, without fail, there was nobody that you went, how could we fix this? Who was like, I have no idea. Everybody was like, their answers were, we need jobs and we need better schools. And then third was like, and we need better cops. Like, they were like, sort of like, the cop thing was like, it's important, but really they were more focused on their immediate family's needs, like jobs and schools. And so for, and when you, at the same time you're saying schools, that you know that Mayor Emanuel has like, has closed all those schools in the most sort of deprived neighborhoods. It's like, you know, these people are like, we need those schools back, and we need those schools to be better than they were when they were here. Mm-hmm. Everybody, the most hardcore gang member we talked to was like, yeah, we need better schools for our kids. This gang life is not what it's cracked up to be. It's not the life that I would like if I could do things differently.
You've had such a great career, and it continues, but totally biased on FX and the stand-up stuff and what you do with your podcast as well. I think about the career of an entertainer, especially someone who is going to be in social and political commentary. You have to learn from each project, and you have to also recognize that each project's, even the best TV shows that we know, are 3, 4, 5 years long, and those are the best ones that you have. Talk about being in this business and learning from the projects that you've done before and how it helps you evolve as not only a comedian, but as an entertainer.
You know, I for me, it's like, you know, in the current era, this is the really important thing. It's just about, I realize now that I use my career as a way to build communities and to make myself smarter. It's a very selfish thing. Like, it's not as much as people want to put me out there. It's like, he's doing all this, you know, some people say he's doing all this important or good work or whatever you want to call it. For me, it's like, I like when I know more people. I like when I know more different types of people. I like when I feel like more people have my back and I can get more people's backs. And I like when we're all connected. And so to do an episode in Appalachia where it's like, you go, I bet you wouldn't go talk to white people in Appalachia. Yeah, I'll go do that. Let's see if we can build some community. I just think it's really selfish. Like, I think about my kids. Like, I want the world to be better for them than it was for me. And at some point, I thought that was going to be easy. But now I'm like, wait a minute, this could get a lot worse for them than it was for me. So for me, it's like, as a comedian, I like talking to people, and I like making people laugh, and I like connecting with people. So this is just all an extension of that. And like I said, it's very selfish to me to be like, let's make the world a better place so I can have a better time in the world.
W. Kamau Bell is, of course, the host of the CNN show United Shades of America, which airs on Sunday nights, currently in its second season. And he just wrote the book, The Awkward Thoughts of W. Kamau Bell, Tales of a 6'4 African-American, Heterosexual, Cisgender, Left-Leaning, Asthmatic, Black and Proud, Blurred, Mama's Boy Dad, and Stand-Up Comedian. W. Kamau Bell, thanks for being my guest tonight and taking some time out. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for talking to me.